Awesome. Let's start preaching the word this morning. Oh, I think we can probably finish early. Look at that. No, Charlie, is that the shortest I've ever? That was amazing. Look at all the time I've got. Anyway, who's glad they came to church this morning? Turn to your neighbour and say you're so good looking. Fantastic. Who's glad for 2021? So I want to help you with 2021. Is that okay? One of the key attitudes that can hold us up in life, and it's interesting to me that, first of all, I'm not Unami. For those of you who thought Unami was preaching this morning, Unami and I swapped. So she's coming next week to Frio, and so we just decided to swap because I am here. I'm preaching, so I thought that would be better. So I hope that's okay with you guys. Some of you, it's okay. Anyway, for those of you expecting Unami, who's heard Unami preach? She's very good. And Stephen last week, Stephen McGuenzie preached, I believe, first message back from leave, and he spoke on, I know he talked about Joseph. So that was a great message as well. And so I want to continue a little bit on that, but let me just, what can I tell you about Adelaide? While you were enduring a heat wave, we were enduring a cold wave. So it was 20 to 24 degrees every day in Adelaide. And if you look today at Adelaide, it's 24 there today. We've got, what, 36, 37? So very interesting pattern at the moment. And I'll talk a little bit more about that. Let's get on with the message. Father, let's pray first. Lord, I thank you that you're an amazing God. I thank you that you rule and reign. And I thank you, Lord, that when we look to you, when we don't know the answers, that you will make things right even when we can't see it. And so we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Ephesians 4:32. Go there with me. For those of you who have your Bible or you can put it on your app. Who uses, just give me a bit of a wave, who likes using an app for their Bible readings? How many of you? About 50%? Wow, it's cool. Who would like to use the app and doesn't know how to? No, don't be embarrassed. We'll help you. It's very simple. Some of you? A couple of you? No, you're all good. You're all more techno than me. Okay. All right, the title of my message this morning is Your Future Depends on This. Your future depends on this. So Ephesians 4:32 in the New Living Translation, instead be kind to each other. Turn to your neighbour and say, be kind to me. All right, but it doesn't just finish there, does it? There's actually quite a lot of attitudes all tied up with this whole thing. So don't only be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Now, the Greek word used in this verse for forgiveness implies not only forgiving, but doing so with a gracious attitude. It's the kind of forgiveness that God has shown us. Colossians says it brilliantly in the New Living, I believe, very well. It says this, Colossians 3:13, make allowance for each other's. Interesting. And forgive one another, forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Time magazine named Gandhi, or Mahatma Gandhi, Person of the Year in 1930. He was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize 5 times, although he actually never received the award. Mahatma Gandhi, for those of you who, it's been a while, was an Indian lawyer, anti-colonial nationalist and political ethicist who employed non-violent resistance to lead the successful campaign for India's independence from British rule. Anyone glad about that here this morning? Would you? All right. And so Gandhi was gunned down, unfortunately, in 1948 at age 78. 1 year after all the work that he'd done, 1 year after they were successfully became an independent nation again. This is the reason why. The assassin was angry that Gandhi, who was a fellow Hindu, advocated for unity between Hindus and Muslims. 1 week prior, as Gandhi was in a prayer meeting, a Hindu extremist set off a bomb and Gandhi narrowly escaped. And Gandhi spoke up at a press conference after that event and said, "If the Hindu religion is to be saved, it can only be saved through the work I am doing." One of Gandhi's greatest sayings was this: "The weak can never forgive. Forgiveness is the attitude of the strong." Now, I am of the opinion, and it's not fact, but I am of the opinion that Gandhi was getting closer to having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to share some things from the Bible as briefly as I can, but with meaning, on some of the stories of men. The Bible has multiple stories. Oh, that's too early. That's way too early. The Bible has... David's already looking through the whole message. She's up the back there. Good on you, Dave. The Bible has multiple stories of men forgiving others. And a lot of these men did not deserve it. And so who thinks that in 2021 it'd be good to forgive one another and let go of some of the stuff that we can hold in our heart for a long period of time? And here's a few, just a few. David spared Saul's life in the cave. Stephen cried out to the Lord as he's being stoned to death and says, "Forgive these people." Jesus prayed for the people who hurt him, "Forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Jesus forgave the woman at the well and caught in adultery, who actually had five husbands and the one she was with wasn't a husband. And Joseph, this is my all-time favourite, which I believe Stephen spoke on a little bit. Joseph forgave his brothers who left him for dead and sold him to be a slave. What do all these people have in common? They all went on to have a bright future. The woman at the well accepted what Christ had done for her and went on and told her entire village, who also came to the Lord, because her life was turned around by what God had spoken to her. The power of a non-judging attitude is an amazing gift we can utilize to help others. Saul was accompanied by 3,000 men, his mission to kill one man, David. And when David had the opportunity, was right there in the cave with him to assassinate him, he chose not to. He is known as a man after God's own heart, not because he did not sin. Anyone here never sinned? Not because he did not sin. His family was dysfunctional. Anyone feeling a bit better already? He made some major stuff-ups throughout his life. But because he recognized his sin, and sometimes it took other people like Nathan to actually say, "Hey, you're going down the wrong way here." But he always got right, and God showed him favor. Stephen and Jesus both died. But they also both showed us a greater future. And through their courageous faith, we have been shown that we need not fear death. Joseph looked bedoomed many times over. Picked up by a slave caravan, well, before that, thrown into a well. Accused of rape by Potiphar's wife. Placed in a dungeon prison. The man didn't just have a few bad days. He had more than a few weeks. He had years of trouble. He had some, there's no other word for it, but hellish years. And yet God gave him the wisdom to save a nation and its people amidst terrible famine, mostly because he did not become bitter. And when his brothers thought their life was over because of what they had done to Joseph and the position of power he held, Joseph said these remarkable words: "As far as I'm concerned, God turned it into good what was meant for evil. He brought me to the high position I have today so I could save the lives of many people. No, don't be afraid. Indeed, I myself will take care of you and your families." Paul Boos said this, thanks Dave, "Forgiveness does not change the past, but it does enlarge the future." Unfortunately, you also don't need to go too far in the Bible to find people, including siblings, who are unforgiving and become bitter. Words like, and I put this all in the same sort of category of forgiveness, because who knows that it not, there's normally it starts with perhaps something else. So words like ungrateful, ingratitude, holding a grudge, resentment, they are all tied in with unforgiveness, and all must be dealt with if we are to be truly free in our hearts. Who'd like to be free in their hearts? And so let's look at one of the very earliest that I could find in the Bible, and that's Cain and Abel. In the fourth chapter of Genesis, so right in the beginning of human history, really, Cain became so enraged with his own brother, his brother being Abel, that he murdered him. Who thinks that might have some sort of grudge in his heart to do that? Possibly. You don't just, you know. So, interestingly, human history has just begun and the Bible is showing us who we really are as a people or what we're capable of. We are all capable of malicious behaviour. And it's interesting to me that the Bible clearly states that the Lord himself had a conversation with Cain before this event about why he was just offering a few vegetables, a few carrots, if you like, upon the altar, and it was, you know, it was just kind of like not much of an offering. And so, but there was this conversation that went on, and this is what it said in Genesis 4, 6 and 7. God's talking to Cain. "Why are you so angry?" the Lord asked Cain. "Why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to take control of you. But you must subdue it and be its master." Cain had a relationship with God. There was a conversation going on. Cain was able to speak with God. However, Cain chose to harbour resentment toward his own brother. As a result of his harboured sin in his heart, there was an ingratitude there. He ignored the promptings of God. Can I say, guys, that when you've got those, who's ever been in this situation when you know what the right thing to do, but you're going, "Well, they deserve it." Am I the only one? See, end result of Cain, and this is a really interesting one. Human history may have been different. We had the flood. Part of it must relate to Cain and the lineage afterwards, because Abel's no longer. God cares about your heart. And so our heart greatly affects our future, positively or negatively. So guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. And so we are well in our way into this new year. What's the date today? 17th, thank you. 17th of Jan. 17 days are already gone. Let's not harbour unforgiveness. Let's not stay ungrateful. To be clear on the word harbour, what do ships and boats do when the weather is foul? They find safe ground. They find shelter, especially areas protected. Now, I've got this picture which Dave showed of Andrea and I. Now, this is no million-dollar houseboat, this one. I think you've probably gathered that. Now, when people talk to me, Andrew and I decided we'd hire this houseboat while we were in South Australia along the Murray River for 3 days. And yes, let's just say it was like a very old caravan that floated. And it was a great experience. It took our marriage to a whole new level of grace. And I'll tell you more about that in a moment. That's Captain Nigel. I've got my cap on. The man who hired us the boat said you've got to wear the cap because that's what you do. So anyway, there it is. And so... so we went on this houseboat along the Murray River from Manum, which is apparently a houseboat like... Some of the houseboats they're much better than most of our homes. I can give you the tip. Anyway, that wasn't our experience, and it was also extremely windy. Like the southerly winds were just incredibly. It was just like gale force. You know, 75 plus kilometer winds every day. We were on the boat, which made for an interesting time when you're trying to actually park the boat for the night. Anyway, so what would we do is, well, we got a two-hour lesson, but it didn't really help that much. So I have a skipper's ticket, but it was very different driving this kind of boat, and they don't have anchors. They just have ropes that you've got to tie off onto some sort of land-based structure, or a pole if you can find one, and so you've got to keep the boat straight. You can't just do like a power boat and sort of come up and go along and just have it on the side. That's not allowed. You're not allowed to do that. You can damage the boat. So he gave us all these strict instructions. Well, what do you do when it's 75 kilometre hour winds and you try to get this boat to stay straight? And my wife's, you know, trying to get the first rope around so that the boat doesn't swing backwards and forwards. So I used to try and find, I said to Andrew, we've got to find some willows, because as you can see the willow behind the boat there, we've got to find some willows on both sides so we can get the boat between the two willows and then it won't be as windy. Good plan. Easier said than done, but good plan. And so I allowed the wind to take me into some of these and tried to do what he said, feather the boat, Nigel, feather it. He doesn't know me very well. I'm more like power on is more. Anyway, we got there in the end, and we. Here's the thing: the next day, and this is where forgiveness and when you harbour things in your heart, you know, you're there, and if you're holding on to stuff, and it, you know it's calm, but you're still going over stuff in your mind. What about this? What about that? And we all, I know that we all do this because I've had enough conversations with people, and the thing is, you want to come out in the morning out of those willows back into freedom, but the only way you can do that if you're not tied down inside, because it doesn't matter how nice the day is, if you're still stuck in your heart on the inside, it's going to be just incredibly difficult for you to get along with anyone. And so when we chugged, we have to reverse out. When you reverse out and then where are we going today? Where will the river take us? We went to a place called No Husband. What was the place called? Young. Oh, Young Husband, that's right. No Husband. I have no idea why it's called Young Husband, but anyway. Ephesians 4:30. I do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing you that you will be saved on the day of redemption. It seems to infer that we better do what God wants us to do, right? And so the Apostle Paul is indicating that poor treatment of others will constrain the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, may thwart the future of others as well, by the way, due to our poor behaviour toward them. And so Isaiah 63:10 says this, they rebelled against him, because it's a similar verse, and grieved his Holy Spirit. So he became their enemy and fought against them. Can I say that God likes you? God likes you. God not only likes you, he saved you. He loves you. And God liked the Israelites. And he did so many good things for them. Who's glad that God does good stuff for you? He even sympathized with the Israelites and showed them so many favors, yet there was an ingratitude in their hearts. He brought 10 plagues against Egypt. That's a sure sign that he's for the Israelites. He provided miraculous food supply for them, which they grumbled about. None of them were actually malnutrition. They had a remarkable water supply, and yet they never saw their future, the future that God had for them, because of their ingratitude. And so we must take responsibility for who we are. We must take responsibility for what we have done. The end result is that we have a future because of what we trust God in and allow him to sort other people out, not ourselves. And so the Bible says next, verse 31, I love this, Ephesians 4:31. Get rid of, say it with me, get rid of. I love that. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behaviour. Some versions say malicious behaviour. All types of evil behaviour. Ingratitude is an evil behaviour. God has given you everything you need. Andrea showed me an Instagram post of Pastor Phil. I think he was on leave because it was January and I'm not sure New South Wales is probably, well, he lives on the Northern Beaches, so he was just shut down anyway. But he showed this picture of him throwing all this, Andrea showed it to me when we were on the boat, the houseboat, of him throwing rubbish onto his verge. And he said something like this, I didn't keep the post, but get rid of all this stuff onto his verge when there's a verge collection. And like Phil, I have no problem whatsoever throwing things away. Some of you know this. Some of you even in the office may know that if that's been there too long, it's going in the rubbish bin. Where did that go, Nigel? It's no good. It's gone. So I tend to throw away stuff that may even have a little bit of use. But the truth is we hoard stuff for no good reason. And the thought being that maybe one day that you'll need it. Well, in my book, buy it when you need it. But for now, throw it away. It takes up valuable space. But seriously, we harbour stuff in our minds and in our emotions. And God says, get rid of it. Get rid of the waste in your heart and mind and lessen your future. The choice is yours. Great future, less future. Do we all want a greater future? And so, the grudge you are holding, get. Phil went on to say, if the waste doesn't go, then it poisons our body. And if the rubbish isn't collected, rats come and poison spread. The beginning of healing for all of us is to put the rubbish out. If you are like me, that means forgiving yourself. Who finds it hard to forgive themselves? It's probably one of the hardest things to do. Because we know, right? But we still... Oh, dear. I was just thinking, my daughter rang me last night and I got a speeding fine in South Australia driving one of their cars. Problem is, I got a speeding fine before I left for South Australia here. And I have to forgive myself. And that's harder than Andrea saying, well, that's another story as well. But we get ourselves into so many things. Oh, anyway, forgive yourself. Pick up your rubbish and get rid of it. And you know, there are some very tragic, true events in our world. I thought I'd share one with you that was in this century, about 17 years ago. It involved a man known as the Green River Killer. Great name, hey? Gary Leon Ridgway, you can look this up, it's all there on the internet, in 2003 confessed to the murders of 48 women. In 2011, Ridgway was convicted of another murder, bringing his tally to 49. By his own confession, he may have murdered more than 71 teenage girls and women near Seattle and Tacoma, Washington. At Ridgway's 2003 sentencing, the families of the victims had opportunity to speak out and address Ridgway directly. Ridgway stonily listened to the family members express their grief and anger. When the time came for the father, Robert Rule, to speak about his own teenage daughter's murder, he said this to Ridgway. There are people here that hate you. I am not one of them. You've made it difficult to live up to what I believe, and that is what God says to do, and that's to forgive. You are forgiven, sir. The words brought Ridgway to tears. And I liked this, what this gentleman had to say, another quote from Chris Jammy. Grudges are for those who insist that they are owed something. Forgiveness, however, is for those who are substantial enough to move on. Ephesians 4:32. Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Let me start at verse 30. Remember, he has identified you as his own. Who's glad we've got God on our side? Guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, who's going to be an instead type of person? Instead, be kind to each other. Instead, be tender-hearted. Instead, forgive one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. When God said to Cain, sin is crouching at the door, but you must subdue it and be its master, he was giving him an opportunity to see himself for who he really was. Who knows that God always gives us a grace period to work on our lives? And so Cain's attitude and behavior were holding him back from God's future for him. And of course, he became a wanderer, a fugitive, the Bible says. And when you and I decide to hold a grudge, we harbour resentment and we become unforgiving. We hurt ourselves and we don't realise it. And we develop other bad attitudes which take us further away from God's purpose for our life. Now, there is little doubt about how Cain and God, if he'd made right, well, human history would have been different. Steve Maraboli says this, the truth is, unless you let go, who's prepared to let go today? Unless you let go, who knows that someone's going to upset you tomorrow or the next day or within the next few weeks? Unless you let go, unless you forgive yourself, unless you forgive the situation, unless you realize the situation is over, you cannot move forward. Can I ask us to stand and I'll just ask the keyboard player to come? Your future depends on your attitude of forgiveness. And I say attitude because I've mentioned all those other words, grudges, resentment, ingratitude. While we're standing here, why don't we just bow our heads for a moment? Who do you need to forgive today? What grudge or what attitude is holding you back from possessing your future? Let's not be like human history and just repeat the Israelites' fate. What have you harbored in your heart that may be slowly poisoning you? And the good news is that God has forgiven you. Will you accept His love? Because your future depends on it. And while we're all standing here, I'd like to ask, there may be people here that haven't received Jesus as the Lord of their life. I think it's clear from even some of the stories I've told today that what we are really like as human people. And yet God sent His Son so that we can have freedom and a future with Him. So that life has purpose and meaning beyond our days on this earth. And I'd like to pray a prayer together. If you haven't received Jesus as Lord of your life, will you accept His love today and all that He has done for you? And if you need to go to someone today or someone in your family and forgive them, why don't you agree with the Lord today that you're going to do that? Let's pray this prayer. And if those of you who have never made a decision for Christ in a public setting like this, or that you know that you need to renew your commitment with Him, build your relationship afresh with Him, and please respond at the end of this prayer when I give an opportunity. Can we pray together, church? Dear Lord Jesus, I thank You that You really do love me. I accept what You have done for me on the cross. You've taken my sin and everyone else's. I give myself to You, Lord. I turn around from my past. I thank You that You have forgiven me. And I accept that today in Jesus' name. I look forward to my future with You in Jesus' name. Amen.